League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, the place to be in Edo. Kingsport 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Kingsport, 13 monitors for all your soccer watching desires. Covering the leagues from around the world, including the Houston Dynamo. Rooftop deck, spectacular, great food, British and Indian pub-style cuisine is a winner, and you will love the staff down there. Get in there before Dynamo games, get in there after Dynamo games, and for the Premier League, which is beginning to start. KingsCourtHouston.com. Say hello to Jay. And Eddie, you and I have knocked back a couple of curries down there, and we've enjoyed them.
Glenn. That place, when it comes to Indian food, is outstanding. So anybody that hasn't been and enjoys Indian food needs to go.
Yeah, I have to, you know, I have to start with a food question with you always. So anyway, listen, we thank you very much for joining us. And, you know, I haven't really had the opportunity to ask you much, but how are you enjoying being the assistant coach of the Houston Dash? I mean, I know the team didn't get the result last night. 2-1 loss. You guys had the lead, actually. But how has it been getting back into the coaching ranks?
It's fun. I love being out there. I love teaching the game. I love being a part of it. Like you said, we had the lead last night, and we played against the Utah Royals, and up until their first Utah's first goal in the second half, we didn't give them anything. We had a great game and really needed that one. We're not out of playoffs yet. We've still got plenty of games to go. We can earn our way in, but really needed that one last night. But Glenn, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying getting to know the girls. I'm enjoying getting to know the nuances of the NWSL. How is it different than Major League Soccer? How is it the same as Major League Soccer? And seeing people that I've known for years, seeing people I haven't seen in years that are different coaches for different teams, it's been so much fun.
Eddie Robinson joining us here. All right, so let me take you back to Saturday night because you were busy. Could not join me in the booth, but you did see what unfolded at BBVA Compass Stadium. This was a very difficult night.
Yeah, I did. I got home in time because of the weather south of Houston. The Dash had to train a little bit early. So I got home, cut on the TV, and it was about 10 minutes into the game. So I got to see everything unfold. There's frustration for me on a couple different levels. Number one, I think the referee could have done a better job. I don't think he was awful. The biggest problem for me is the discipline, or excuse me, lack thereof from some of the Dynamo players. I understand that you're angry. I understand that you don't like the calls, but the Darwin Serin red card, inexcusable. You can move a player away from your teammate without hitting him in the face. Albert Elise, 2 weeks in a row now, has bumped a referee. Did it against Philadelphia. He only got a yellow card for it. When he did it against in this last game against Kansas City, he wasn't shown a yellow. I think he was fortunate. There's some discipline issues that I would like to see Wilmer Cabrera address with his players. I know he's frustrated. Hard done with the Tomas Martinez red card a couple of weeks ago, but that's over. It's past. This is a rival. You know it's going to get physical. You know it's going to get difficult. So for me, I think it's a mixture of things. People want to only blame the referee, but you can't only blame the referee. You have to look at the behavior of some of the Dynamo players, and I think that needs to be addressed.
Eddie Robinson joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you taking the time out, Eddie, because we know you have to get out on the field to coach the women. There is an accumulation of things, but you do have to be accountable. I mean, the one thing I was always taught was that, look, you control the things you can control. I'm not sure that the Dynamo were able to fully cleanse themselves of the real wrong that was the Philadelphia game and the sending off of Martinez, because you and I were calling that game. Martinez had just hit the crossbar. I mean, you were just like, it's a matter of time before the Dynamo take the lead here. And you had to believe they were going to take a full 3 points on that night. I just think that one's been too difficult for the Dynamo to walk away from.
It has. It has. But, I mean, golly, Glenn, if you look at the first half, even after the sending off, Dynamo looked more likely to score. They looked the team that was in charge. I mean, the Dynamo finished the game with 8 players on the field and only lost 1-0. I think that speaks of the attitude and the quality the Dynamo have, but currently Kansas City's struggling. But you get chances, you got to finish them.
Yeah, I saw that as a very winnable game.
Yeah, I agree.
Even with 10 men, very winnable.
Yeah, 100%. Even after Alejandro Fuenmayor's red card, it was a very winnable game. The Dynamo looked to be on the front foot. They were still taking the game to Kansas City. It was frustrating as a fan. I mean, I'm now a fan. You know, on nights like that, where I'm not in the booth with you, where I'm sitting at home, when the Dynamo score, I'm 10 feet off the ground. And when they give up a goal, I'm gutted. I'm gutted. I'm a super fan. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating for all of us, knowing that games are, you know, they're fewer and fewer as the season ends. The Dynamo need more and more points. But the good news is we have something to look forward to tomorrow night.
Yeah, Wednesday night, the Dynamo in action in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. They'll take on LAFC. LAFC coming off a loss at New York Red Bulls. They look good in that game, though. Very dangerous. So let's talk a little bit about them, because Carlos Vela, Lee Wynn, Benny Failhaber, Latif Blessing, Diego Rossi, all very interchangeable parts, all very skilled. A very, very good team that has been put together as an expansion team.
Well, don't forget, Bob Bradley won an MLS Cup very shortly after he became coach of an expansion team in the late 90s in Chicago. The guy knows what he's doing. He's a genius. The time that I got to spend with him when he was the U.S. national team coach, I learned a lot about him. The guy's never stops wanting to learn about the game, wanting to watch soccer. He watches more soccer than even myself, and I spend pretty much every week, every day of every week, watching the Premier League, the Bundesliga, the French Liga. I watch so much soccer, but Bob Bradley, so much credit to him. So much credit to the organization for giving him the resources that he needs to build a good team. And Wilmer Cabrera is not worried, he's not underestimating this team. Everyone knows what LAFC is capable of. Look at where they're at in the standings in the Western Conference in the regular season. I mean, this is a team that's capable of winning on the road. So, again, I said it to you last week. I hope that the Dynamo put out their best available lineup, and that includes Albert Elise, that includes Darwin Serwin, that includes Tomas Martinez, Alejandro Fuenmayor. Get this win. One game away from playing for a championship. The Dynamo have never won.
They have never been to a final. This would be historic for the Dynamo as a club.
No doubt about it. It would be amazing.
And you know what? My sentiment's the same. You know, I got in the car after that game, and I was very depressed. And because even a man down, I felt the Dynamo could still win this game. And obviously they have in Albert and Rommel guys that can make it easier for you to play with 10 men, certainly on the counterattack with that blazing pace and teams that are going to get potentially overcommitted. But, yeah, it was a tough night. The good news is this comes very quickly here in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, and it's the type of game that can platform you in either direction, right?
Yeah, of course, 100%. I mean, we talk, you and I, almost ad nauseum about momentum and about confidence and what a win here or there would do for you. I mean, this is a semifinal, the U.S. Open Cup. To win this, I mean, it could platform the Dynamo to a good run of games, to a good run of results that gets them back in that playoff race.
Eddie, listen, I know you got to get to work. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate your insight. I will see you very, very soon. And again, thank you very much for contributing, as always, to the show tonight. And, well, too bad you're not going to be here tomorrow night, because we're going to be catered by the one and only Kings Court.
God, Glenn, I'm always humbled that you asked me on, man. Thanks a lot.
All right.
See you soon.
He's Eddie Robinson. We appreciate him coming on. You see him on TV, now one of the assistants for Vera Powell and the Houston Dash. Hey, the FM Kitchen and Bar is a place that is actually fairly close to where I live. It's located one block north of Washington on Shepherd. Get in there and you can watch all the best in soccer matches. They'll show the Dynamo games. They have expertly crafted cocktails, amazing burgers, chicken sandwiches, ribs, Southern comfort food. FM Kitchen and Bar, amazing patio. They got 13 monitors out there for all your sports watching, including sport of soccer. They'll show the Premier League. They'll show the Bundesliga. Patio is also kid and pet friendly. Bring the entire family. It is FM Kitchen and Bar. Go in and say hello to Ryan. They catered here last week, and it was amazing food. Everybody loved it. So, again, it's FM Kitchen and Bar, one block north of Washington on Shepherd. Tranquility Home Systems. Now, if you need an upgrade when it comes to your home system and your home theater, the best home theater installation comes from Tranquility Home Systems. My friend Jesse, I'm giving you his personal number right now. He is home theater to the stars. 281-506-7822. 281-506-7822. It's Jesse. 20 years of experience. He'll get you in the latest 4K video technology. His website, THS, it's www.THS3inc.com. That's Tranquility Home Systems. They also do networking, lighting design, motorized shades, home audio. Jesse, 281-506-7822 for all your home theater needs. We'll take a Bud Light break now.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here tonight. Again, we remind you the Dynamo in action on Wednesday night. This is a big one. LAFC, a historic moment for the club here in Houston to try and get to a Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And it is against a very good LAFC team that we saw come in here and get a 2-2 draw against the Dynamo on a night where they managed that game pretty well here on the road. So this is a big one Wednesday, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. You can also catch the game over at the Gorgeous Gale. We did our World Cup shows over there throughout. Gorgeous Gale's over on 5555 Morningside Drive in the Heights, thegorgeousgale.com. Go over there, say hello to Peter, and check out the Premier League there as well. It's the home of the Liverpool supporters group. Well, when you think about LAFC, you think about their play-by-play man who knows a lot about this team. He's Max Bretos. He joins us now. I was going to call you Maximiliano because it's just so proud. And, you know, I think you were maybe a president of a small country at one time.
Generally when I hear Maximiliano, it's my mother and he's in trouble. So it has a negative connotation. I love my name, but when I hear it yelled out of the blue, I do think I did something wrong.
Oh, that when you're so your mom would go the full money when it was when you were
call you Max if she wanted you to grab something. She'd call you Maximiliano if you broke something.
So Max is obviously he's the play-by-play guy. Many of you know him from around Major League Soccer, the sport of soccer, ESPN, SportsCenter, and all those things. Just tell me how integrated this team is now in L.A. and how this has gone in a really positive way, creating a rivalry with the L.A. Galaxy and El Tráfico and everything going on out there.
No, it's been great, and it would appear that I think a sign that they've arrived quickly is, and I think we saw it at the Red Bulls game, is that when they play a team, they get a good shot from that team. It's a good win for the opponents now, because you know LAFC has come in with a lot of fanfare, and just with regards to the city, I've been blown away. I mean, this is a process that's been going on for years before I arrived, which was in February of this year. But going back even 2015, when they knew they were going to get a team, and just the process of breaking ground on the stadium, which is the biggest lure. I take people there all the time. They watch a game, and they're in for the long haul. So that process was, you know, painstaking and difficult, and you know, a lot of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears put into building what you see now, from the logo to the crest to everything, to the jerseys, to the uniforms, and even building that team, starting with Bob Bradley and then Carlos Vela. So it's pretty impressive. I mean, usually when we were covering Major League Soccer 10, 15, 20 years ago, I don't have an age again, but we did it together. And we would see it. It was so hard to get any traction for these clubs in these cities. But LAFC is one of a good amount that have changed that. And I think even as the season wears on, LAFC is still prominent on the radio waves, on the TV, local news. So it's pretty cool.
So big star, Carlos Vela. And I was just blown away by how good he was taking the platform on the All-Star game. His interview with Taylor, I thought, you know, who doesn't want to go watch this guy after that interview? How good has he been from the perspective of being that symbol of the team and being out there on platforms, really getting people ginned up and excited about LAFC?
Yeah, and I'd like to mention one thing about the All-Star game. When they announced the starters for the MLS team and they announced his captaincy, the folks in Atlanta gave this huge ovation, which was wonderful to hear. I mean, because we know that there was like a to see who was going to be captain, whether it's Michael Parkhurst or Carlos Vela, and Vela won it. You want to have the Atlanta fans' reaction. They were first class in letting him know that he was their captain as well for that game last Wednesday. I think if you look at Carlos Vela, you got to look at the path he took. Here he is, he's a 16-year-old kid. He has all the talent. He's a champion with the under-17 Mexican national team. And then he's going to Europe. And, you know, he got bounced around. I mean, he got transferred. He got loaned out from Arsenal. And for, I'd say, I think it was 13 years, he was in Europe trying to get a footing, always playing where the other guy was the main guy. And I think he was craving that. He wanted to be closer to home. And he got all that he wanted by coming to LAFC. And he feels comfortable. And with that comfort, you have seen a different Carlos Vela, where he's been able to revitalize his national team career. And I think that comfort and ease has made his game really bubble to the surface in an incredible positive way. I mean, it's a long season, and there's going to be some traps. And I think he's not the best Carlos Vela we've seen all season right now, but I think this is a test to get over it. But by and large, I think that comfort level has opened up the veins for his game. And that's just something I think he's strived for. And you have to think of the sacrifice he's had to make his entire career at such a tender age that he's really earned it. And he wants to take it with both hands and do some incredible things for this club and this city.
I saw a lot of humility in the interview as well. I mean, Taylor asked him about the potential of being in the next World Cup. And he, you know, most players are going to say, yeah, I want to be at the next World Cup. And he was like, yeah, well, you know, I don't know if it'll be my time. I may have to step aside. I just don't know.
But unbelievable, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I just was totally blown away from that. And I just said to myself, God, this guy, you know, let's give this guy another 10 minutes, you know, 15 minutes here. I mean, we need to get this guy out there as much as possible. How much Hispanic support is there? And how much do you think you can attribute that to Vela?
You can attribute a lot to it, but I think there was a Hispanic, the supporters there, mainly in the 3252 that sits in the North End, by and large are mostly Hispanic, but not exclusively. And I think there is an awareness within all the Hispanic neighborhoods within Los Angeles, the large Mexican contingent, the Central American contingent as well, that this is a club, you know, worth getting closer to. I would say that the LA Galaxy have, we all know they have really deep roots here, and there are Galaxy supporters that remain that, and rightfully so. That's their team. But there was a group of folks in LA and a lot of Latino communities that didn't really have a horse in the race in Major League Soccer, and this has kind of opened it up for them, for some that didn't want to be Galaxy supporters. But as big as the Hispanic contingent is, it's interesting to see just the big melting pot of supporters that they have there when you look at all four sides of the stadium, and they come from all walks of life. There's a real push within the club to reach out to the Korean community. They have Korean supporter groups. I was in a meeting today with talking about what they're going to do to Stephen Betashore and get in line with the Persian community in Los Angeles. And they're using these players to open up parts of the city, which, as you know, you spend so much time here. You have every walk of life here. Even Lee Nguyen, that they have reached out to the Vietnamese part of the city to win new fans. And through their players, they're able to do that. So it's not just a call for Latin fans. It's open for everyone. And even if you don't have a player from a said country on that roster, they'll look for you and they will welcome you with open arms.
Yeah, that it's just incredibly insightful and interesting that you're saying that. He's Max Bredos. He's the play-by-play man for LAFC. LAFC is in town. Well, they're probably in town today, and they will be in town Wednesday night to take on the Houston Dynamo semifinals of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. I want to take it to Diego Rossi, who, you know, really had some real joy and, you know, was really providing some good penetration, looked very, very sharp against the New York Red Bulls despite the 2-1 loss. But, boy, he started the season off wonderfully, and he's exciting, this Uruguayan.
Yeah, and I spoke with Dan Bradley about Rossi, and I go, this is a 20-year-old kid. This is a burden. You're putting a heavy workload on his shoulders. And he said, look, when he was at Peñarol, I mean, he was part of a team that had a lot of guys that were very highly regarded, and that's how they brought him to LAFC. But now that he's LAFC, I mean, he's not here to develop. They say you arrived here, and the intentions were for you to be an important role player on this team, an everyday player who's going to have to play important minutes. And he did that. But then I think, as you see, for a young kid, and he started at 19 and now 20, it's going to be tough to keep at that momentum. And there have been some moments where he's been squeezed out of games, but I would say it's disappointing to lose a game in the Red Bulls. It's not super disappointing because those are games you usually don't get results. That's a really good club in New Jersey there, and I should say New York, New Jersey area. But to see Rossi have a game where he really flourished was great, and I know the folks of the club were thrilled to see that he can be as influential as he was. I think you have to, as a young player, there's going to be good and bad, and they're going to be in the middle. But he's going to always be there. He's willing to take that workload, and they're going to continue to put it on his shoulders.
He's Max Brentos, play-by-play man, LAFC. So here's one thing I love about LAFC, and I witnessed this when they came here in the regular season. With their possession, they can go on the road and get good management of games. Thus, they have gotten a lot of road results. I mean, they had first six games, I believe, on the road. They won four of them. But when I look at the players, Vela, Wynn, Failhaber, Rossi, Blessing, I look at these guys and I say very interchangeable, guys that can break pressure. But I also look at guys like Wynn and Failhaber and Vela, and I'm saying, Bob Bradley's getting these guys to do more without the ball and when the ball's lost. Am I right or wrong there?
Bob Bradley has a real specific vision for how he wants to play, and it's really great to see. And I hope it's successful in the big picture because it's positive football, as he likes to say, and it's building out and having guys go after defenders and work on angles and find that open space. Never settle for a tie. I think that's one thing you'll see. And it's worth them in a bit, you know, where you're up a goal or they're trailing by. They're not playing for ties. They're playing to win games. And that's the push it was. And there's some experimental parts to it, I think, that have to be ironed out because it is pretty avant-garde what he's doing there. And I think, you know, Bob has seen things through his coaching journey, and he's picked out stuff that has worked, and he's shed things that have not worked, and I think he's seen something that is that he feels is going to break some new ground here. And they've had their moments, but there are some growing pains. I think it's a style that's great for guys in defense. I think it's also a style that puts a lot of pressure on central defenders and a goalie because there's going to be opportunity to come in the other direction. But that positivity is, you know, it's like a moment in time here in the way you play, and if it works, and it's worked a lot this season, and that's a team that you would imagine is going to be in the postseason and can make some noise, that could, you know, be the imitator a little bit. And that's great because I like you, Glenn. It's so much fun to watch. You have to buckle in sometimes. We've seen it. There's no lead. There's safe sometimes against the Galaxy and against the Dynamo where they had that. There was going to be growing pains to kind of fix those things. But, man, it's fun to watch. And if you can be successful, look out.
Max Bretos, play-by-play man for LAFC. Last one, Max. We'll let you get going, but thank you so much for the information and the insight about LAFC. So, Dio, we saw Dio. I think they may have speculated on TV it might have been a hamstring. Has there been any update on him? Because, we've seen him with various multi-goal games, a big, strong, powerful forward, also a guy that can play make quite well, actually, we saw in Houston. So he's brought some great facets to the game for LAFC. What's his status right now, if any?
We don't have anything new, and I know you touched on it, but they were in Sunday in New York, New Jersey. So they're on their way to Houston. They did not come back to L.A. for obvious reasons. It's a tricky stretch here with two road games right out of the All-Star break. But he remains with the team, and I imagine no news might be good news that he is going to give it a shot in practicing tomorrow, and we'll see where it goes. But obviously he's a guy who's earned the trust and respect of his teammates and the way he scores goals. You know, Marco Ureña's there to cover him as well. But Marco is also a guy who wants to start for this team. So that was a problem that's a good problem to see. But the hope is that you have those options and everyone can remain happy. Right now, both of them getting enough playing time. But there's always going to be one guy who starts. And if right now it would appear if Dio's healthy, he's going to be that guy that I don't know. I don't know about the severity. Unless you talk to the guy in the office a little bit ago, we don't have anything new. But I think, again, the no news would be good news, at least from LAFC, that he should be able to at least go Wednesday. But we'll probably know more by the end of the day.
What's incredible is the front six Bob Bradley put out against New York. Carlos Vela, Lee Wynn, Benny Failhaber, Diego Rossi, Dio, and Latif Blessing. All six of those guys considered attacking players. Max, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Glenn, and hopefully it was an LAFC win, but if we don't win, all the best of the Dynamo in there in pursuit of the Cup.
I'll tell you what, we're going to have to figure out a bet, and then we'll get back together tomorrow. We'll make a bet on this one Wednesday, okay?
All right, we'll do it.
Let's think about this tonight, and then I'll announce on the show what our bet is going to be. We'll make it a good one, okay?
All right, sounds good.
All right, he's Max Brentos, and we appreciate Max coming on. By the way, they do their games on YouTube, which is innovative in itself. We're going to take a quick break here. Before we do, a quick reminder here for Advantage BMW. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've owned from Advantage BMW Midtown numerous times. I love the drive of a BMW. I love the ultimate driving machine. I got a 5 Series, love it. In fact, you know what? It's in getting serviced. I'm driving the X3 right now, which is incredible also. And I drove it for, over the weekend. And I thought I was in an X5 because of the size of it. And then I realized when I walked away from it, I saw X3 on the back. But that's a great machine as well. Anyway, the other thing I love is the customer service down there. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown, they got you covered. Sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get into that vehicle. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. Get in there. Say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio. They love soccer. Mention soccer. And mention that you've heard about Advantage BMW Midtown. On Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. They'll love it, and we'll love it. Also, the Daspit Law Firm, a moment here for the second hour presenting sponsor, Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, are going to bring you a personalized approach, 713-322-HURT. Now, they'll take your phone call in either English or Spanish. They're bilingual. And, you know, if you get in a car accident, everybody's nervous, motorcycle, construction, you might drive an 18-wheeler, you might work in a plant, a refinery. You do need representation, and it is and can be a nerve-wracking time. The Daspit Law Firm will take the nerves away They will cover you 24/7, nights and weekends. They'll give you the representation you need. It's DaspitLaw.com. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break. Thank you, John Daspit.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight we're going to end it in big fashion here. Before we get to our next interview, quick word here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, my friends at Advantage BMW Midtown, they've leased cars to me. I've owned from Advantage BMW Midtown numerous times. The drive of a BMW, incredible. After all, it's the ultimate driving machine. I drive a 5 Series, love it. The other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. Second to none, Advantage BMW Midtown. They'll have you covered with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down there, say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio. They love soccer. They were all watching the World Cup. They love the Dynamo and Major League Soccer. Get down to Advantage BMW. And speaking of the Houston Dynamo, big game. On Wednesday, they will take on LAFC. Historic moment for the club because the Dynamo, an opportunity to get to their first ever Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup final. And a guy that knows all about the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup final, Dynamo goalkeeper Chris Seitz joining us now. Chris, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right, so look, you've got history with the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, obviously, and explain to the fans a little bit about the reasons why this is important, because I do think it's something that needs to be, in a sense, understood a little bit more. Obviously, it's a tournament from 1914. It started with ethnic teams around major cities in America. At this point now, Major League Soccer teams are also in it. But how about something about the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup from your perspective?
Well, look, for me, at the end of the day, we're, as professional athletes, there's a trophy on the line, right? And the competitive nature comes out anytime there's a trophy on the line and prestige to bring to the club. And so first and foremost, it's obviously a big tournament in the eyes of athletes just based on the fact that there's trophies and it's a prestigious tournament. The history of it is obviously incredible. You look around the world and you look at the FA Cup, you look at these different domestic cups that go on in every country and how important they are to clubs. And U.S. soccer has done a great job as of late pushing the importance of it within MLS and within the other leagues as well, to show its importance in its culture and its heritage. And MLS teams have bought into it incredibly. And look, we put out our strongest lineups and we go for it. And even in the midst of a busy regular season, we put priority in these games because there is a trophy on the line, and we want to do everything we can to have our club name on it.
Dynamo goalkeeper Chris Seitz will be in goal on Wednesday night against LAFC. The Houston Dynamo one game away from going to the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. The other semifinal is Chicago and Philadelphia, so it is possible that the final could be held here in Houston. But first things first, it's a very good LAFC, and having watched their game on Sunday, Chris, there's just, you know, so many footballers on that team. Carlos Vela, obviously, Lee Wynn, Benny Failhaber, all guys comfortable with the ball, all guys that can create. And that's before we get into the front runners like Diego Rossi.
Yeah, look, they're a talented side. We found that out. Obviously, we scouted them quite a bit, but when we played them at home a couple weeks ago, I mean, they had a large percentage of the possession and the opportunities in that game. And it took us 2 late goals and extra time in order to grind a draw out of that game. And we'll be ready for them. I mean, we obviously know what their strengths are and know where they break teams down. And we'll be ready for that and do everything we can to exploit their weaknesses and really take advantage of places that we're strong. And look, it's going to be a great game. And it's an exciting game. And hopefully there's one team scoring a lot of goals and the other isn't, right? So hopefully we get out of this game and just have a chance to play for a trophy. And obviously that's a huge goal of everyone at this club.
Dynamo goalkeeper Chris Seitz joining us here. A team that has a lot of interchanging, a lot of movement, mobility. Vela, Wynn, Fellhaber, Blessing, Rossi, they're all guys that interchange. How do you as a team deal with teams that have that sort of interchange and movement and mobility like they do?
Yeah, look, they have a lot of talented guys going forward, and we're aware of that. They're not a team that's going to get to the end line and whip the ball in out wide and do a whole lot of aerial crosses and such. They're a team that wants to combine and play and play to their strengths. And obviously they have a lot of talented guys with the ball at their feet. And as long as we stay compact and push them wide into places that they don't want to be and defend them in spaces that we want to defend them in and we plan on defending them in, we'll find success in those situations. And it's going to be a game where we got to take care of our opportunities. And when they come and we got to be ready for them and finish every opportunity we have and defend strong, obviously. And obviously that's the key to every game plan. But at the same time, when you're playing in semis, it's very important to finish the opportunity you have and to do everything on the defensive end as a group of 11.
Now I know I asked Joe the same question, but it can't be easy for a goalkeeper when you've got so many changing parts in front of you game after game after game, based on injury, based on suspension and selection. How difficult has that been?
Look, it's our job. I mean, we've worked since preseason on different lineups, different formations, different players in those lineups, and we pride ourselves on being able to interchange quite a bit. And whether it's the next man standing or it's an opportunity where you're giving a guy an opportunity after a good week of training, whatever it is, we have the confidence of that back line in front of us and really the two lines in front of them. And if we have a deep enough roster, which this roster is built upon being deep and being able to compete in these tournaments, and those guys take advantage of their opportunities, and things are going to start working out and start turning back in our favor.
Now, in your case, though, you do have to look at the subtleties and the tendencies of the different guys that are in front of you, correct?
Of course, yeah. And there are different strengths to different players that play in front of you. And whether it's Philippe and Alejandro, who obviously played a long stretch of games together. Leo is a little bit different in terms of where he wants the ball and how he wants to play. And they all bring different qualities and different attributes to the back line. Obviously, Bees is a constant, steady force on the left, and we all know what he wants and what he requires. And on the other side with Andrew, it's a little bit different than Machado. It's a little bit different than Kevin. But they all add something different, something that we could use in different settings and different situations. And at the end of the day, it's about finding the best four on that day to figure out a way to get the result.
Chris Seitz joining us here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We're happy that Chris has joined us here tonight. All right, so tell me a little bit about this phase the Dynamo are in now. Now, teams certainly have ups and downs throughout the year. Sporting Kansas City, with the win, they broke out of what was, I think, a five-game winless streak. They hadn't won since quite a while, in over a month. What do you think is the biggest problem right now for the Dynamo overall?
I think we need to, and this is a great week to do it, is really just start with a clean slate. We have a massive game in front of us on Wednesday, and if we can forget about our struggles as of late and really just put our focus into the massive game in front of us, we can start to right the ship. Obviously, we've had a struggle the past month, some results that didn't go our way at home, and obviously we held on as long as we could in Portland and are frustrated with that result as well. So we're aware of it, and it's going to have to come from within. It's not something that is lacking in the locker room. It's something that we just, as players, need to step up and start executing. We know what our game plans are. We know what the coaches want from us, and it's just about getting out there and putting it together. We've had great 45 minutes here and there, and we need to figure out a way to turn those 45 minutes into 60 minutes and then 80 minutes into 90 minutes and really start to find complete games. And the minute we start finding those and building our confidence up throughout those games, we're going to start seeing the tide turn and results start to go back our way.
So when I look at you guys and this last game, highly emotional game from everybody, what happens in the days between that? Has there been a total reboot now? Is there still carryover from that? What happens? Because that was a very emotional night at BBVA Compass Stadium to the point that many people had not seen that.
Yeah, and I honestly, for us, we're rejoining today. I don't know when we're airing this, but we're rejoining on Monday. We took Sunday off. We got a busy stretch coming up, as always, and I think it was a much-needed day off to let everyone not relax, but to get that out of them and to get back in, and we'll address it tonight and move forward. We definitely have a lot to learn from that. It's a game where our emotions got the better of us, and it's a game where we put ourselves in a hole very early in a situation where we went out of our realm and got an early red card and really hurt ourselves in that aspect, and it was an uphill game from there. But for us, we need to realize that there are going to be emotional stretches, and having emotional intelligence and really being able to control our emotions as a group and as a team will pay dividends. Refs in this league are trying their best and doing their best, and if calls don't go our way, we can't lose our cool in the way and fashion that we do. We have to, as obviously we've taken some calls that have gone against us and calls that we might feel that were wrongfully against us. But at the same time, we're professional athletes, and we have to realize that that's going to happen and that we need to figure out ways to rebound from that and regroup within those games, within those settings, and really figure out ways to grind out results in those situations. I think for us, we can talk about it tonight and we can really figure out ways to work it out, but at the same time it comes down to us as a group getting together and figuring out on the field.
He's Chris Knights, Dynamo goalkeeper, joining us here. Had the first five games of the year, and you and I had talked a lot about your career, and the thing I like about your career is you have had ups and downs and admittedly peaks and valleys like we all have in life, and you fought through them. You started the year as the starter the first five games, now not the starter. But you are on Wednesday in the Open Cup. The Open Cup is yours, according to Wilmer Cabrera. That's what he told me. You know, how do you keep going every day? I mean, obviously every day is a challenge and every day is a new day to improve your game. But just talk about the mindset of a goalkeeper because, you know, you're a great story. Things don't always come easy.
Yeah, and I think it's games like these that are coming up on Wednesday that keep me going. It's obviously a frustrating situation personally. And at the same time, it's the club is still trying to find a way to get out of it as well. And you hope that you can be the answer, right? You hope that you can be the guy that can go in there and turn the ship in the right direction. And when it is an opportunity for me as well as for the team to do something this club's never done before, and push them into a final and push them into a cup game. And that's a big reason why I came here, was the opportunity to play in big games, and Wednesday is one. Obviously, this middle stretch of the season hasn't gone great for me personally, but if I can continue to perform in these cup games and in these Open Cup games, then I'm doing all that I can to showcase what I can do for this club and put myself in the best possible position on come Saturday.
Chris, you're a good man. We wish you the best of luck against LAFC in the semifinals of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup on Wednesday. Thank you so much for taking the time out to join us tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Great guy there, Chris Seitz. And by the way, you can get your tickets, HoustonDynamo.com, for the Dynamo LAFC in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup semifinals. That'll do it tonight. The Daspit Law Firm, we just want to remind you, we thank them for all their support of the show. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. For Tyler Scott, Victor Ariza, and our crew, we thank you. And on behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.